Today is Monday, March the 22nd, 2004. This is Jason Harp conducting the first interview with Milton Short, former Charlotte City Council member, 11 o'clock. Subject of the interview is urban renewal in the Brooklyn neighborhood in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Well, I'm not saying anything all that tremendous, but my office and my home, I just believe in doing a lot of writing and sure. Filing and papers and so forth. So I tried to give all of this to the university. And I had records on everything imaginable, including Brooklyn urban redevelopment. But the university was not interested, and others who were involved in city council at that time had a similar experience. There was nobody interested in taking all these, and I admit it's a truckload, but nobody was interested in taking it, and so we just disposed of all kinds of files. So I'm a little bit proud of someone who actually wants to make history more savable and workable.
Now, how long ago was that you attempted to donate it to the university? Some years ago?
Well, my last year on city council, I think, was 1979. Yeah. And shortly after that, I and some others attempted to give a big bunch of files that we had to university, but they were just not interested in it.
Now, are any of those records that say you disposed of all the?
Well, there wasn't anything we could do. Sure. I mean, eventually we just wound up in the Charlotte junk collection operation, I suppose. And I guess for someone who's just going to be a city council member to save every scrap of paper anyway is a little bit ridiculous.
I don't think so. Well, again, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you agreeing to spend a little bit of time with me on our project
in
class.
Well, I'm honored, and thanks for what you're doing. You want me to make a few comments, or you want to start asking some questions?
Certainly. Feel free to.
Well, on the subject that we are talking about here, Brooklyn urban redevelopment, my opinion in 1965 and still today is that to use the North Carolina eminent domain procedure and federal funding and so forth for the purpose of attacking urban degeneration and urban squalor in Brooklyn and I think Charlotte had some four or five other urban redevelopment projects, I just thought that was a win-win situation. And I don't know if we still have any such programs today. I doubt if the feds are doing any financing, but I guess we've certainly got the eminent domain laws still on the North Carolina law statutes. So if there is a possibility of using such a program even today in America, I think it would be a real good thing. I think it was just a win-win situation and combating urban squalor and so forth. And it was at that time just simply a basic advantage that the United States had over all other nations all over the world, I think. We're talking about Charlotte, Brooklyn urban redevelopment, but I think this thing had big implications nationwide. And I think today, if you compared cities in America with cities in other nations all over the world, you'd find that we are ahead of the game, and a good portion of this could be attributed to the urban redevelopment program that we had back in the 60s and 70s. I don't know whether any other nation has ever adopted such a program. I never heard of such. But I believe if you compared American cities with even the most prosperous other nations like Sweden or Britain or wherever, I think we would come out ahead anywhere else in the world because of the excellent urban redevelopment program that existed there for I don't know how many years. This program clearly had the approval of the general public in Charlotte. And not only that, it was popular in Brooklyn. Those people did not feel put upon. Fred Alexander was the first black city council member, and he and I were elected to the city council at the same time, and we served a number of years together. Fred was born and raised in Brooklyn, and he just pushed this throughout his entire career on the Charlotte City Council. I certainly did outwardly and in all other ways. I pushed Charlotte urban redevelopment and approved of it and supported it quite strongly. And starting in 1965 and in five subsequent elections, I got black vote, and they looked upon me as a kind of a guy that was trying to help the blacks. And they certainly had no resentment about it at all, it seems to me. I don't think I ever heard from anyone along the line that blacks were somehow, or anybody else was being mistreated in, because of the Brooklyn Urban Redevelopment Program, although their property was being taken away from them by the eminent domain procedure. Occasionally, there would be some philosophical comment from some far right-wing politician that the urban redevelopment program made it illegal to be poor. And so if you wanted to talk about objections to the program, I guess in a philosophical sense, you just weren't allowed to remain over there in Brooklyn and have run down squalor and so forth in whatever property you had. Well, I never heard of this kind of comment from anybody who was actually affected by it in Brooklyn, but you'd hear it occasionally from some senator in Washington or something. Actually, run-down real estate has a reduced value, of course, and it's not only a problem for the appearance of the entire city, but it is a problem for those who wind up owning real estate in an area that is just simply deteriorated. Property has reduced value, and over there in Brooklyn particularly, particularly the residential part of it, there were like these 40-foot lots, 50-foot lots. If somebody wanted to get out of there and wanted to sell one of those, they just couldn't find any way to sell it. In other words, I don't think anybody was trying to move into Brooklyn at all at that time. It just simply wasn't sought after. And along comes the North Carolina eminent domain procedure, and it's got to pay them stated, determined value for their property, which was a fair value. And my experience and belief on Brooklyn urban redevelopment was they just about everybody over there was simply glad to have it and looked upon it as sort of an opportunity. The owners over there were having difficulty paying the property taxes. And I don't know about their fire insurance and that sort of thing, but they probably had difficulty paying for the fire insurance. And I believe that, while I don't have this, the statistics, of course, after all these years, I believe that the owners of property in Brooklyn got more out of the urban redevelopment procedure than they could have gotten just trying to sell the property on the market. Seems to me that this program in Brooklyn was referred to and cited all around the country. I'm sure it was cited and mentioned on some occasion and pointed out by Lyndon Johnson. I think that Kennedy strongly supported it. He was the president when the program was originated and probably was the one with the idea, although I don't know exactly who thought of it, but Kennedy certainly supported it. Johnson supported it, and while there was some apprehension about Richard Nixon, he supported it. And when he became president in, 69, I don't believe the program was reduced in any way, and I believe he supported the program. This project I think we can be proud of it, but there were some problems. The law required that the Charlotte Urban Redevelopment Commission find a suitable home somewhere else for everybody that they were, where they were purchasing the property and ousting them from Brooklyn. Well, This is where it got to be difficult. As a city council member, I would get phone calls all along from some couple who didn't like it out where they were moved from. Not where they were moved to. They were not seeking to remain in Brooklyn, and they were not bragging about Brooklyn, but they didn't like it wherever it was at the Urban Redevelopment Commission had managed to settle them in some new home. It would certainly, on a subject like that, would be impossible to keep everybody happy. Also, the program, as originally set up in Washington, required that when property was taken by the Urban Redevelopment Commission, that it then be sold at public auction. Well, this was not at all practical. It was very difficult. Who wants to try to buy a home at a public auction? That just doesn't make sense. You want to look over and find the home you like and then put your money down and buy the home you like, not be faced with some public auction. And in the case of a business, and of course Brooklyn particularly, a lot of it went to business, that was proved to be very difficult for businesses because they just couldn't plan. If some company wanted to build a store or an office, a manufacturing operation or something in Brooklyn, they wanted to plan what it is they were going to do, and they wanted to plan the money that they would be put that they would put into it. And lo and behold, they'd tell them, well, you're going to have to go out and engage in a public auction in order to get that land, and you may or may not get it, even after all the planning you've done. That was certainly a valid complaint against the urban redevelopment program. I don't want to spotlight myself in any way, but the Charlotte City Council, I guess because maybe I'm a lawyer, the mayor and the council set up some kind of a committee, and I was the head of the committee. And we had the job to go over to Raleigh and get the legislature to change that provision that the land had to be sold at public auction. At one time, it was thought that this change would have to come out of the National Congress, but I think it was finally determined that if we could get some enactment here in North Carolina statutes, that this would just simply provide that it would be possible for the Urban Redevelopment Commission to negotiate a sale with some purchaser that they wanted to negotiate with. And of course, the price always had to be at some appraised value, so you couldn't carry on any fraudulent activities and so forth. But I had the job of going down to Raleigh, I remember, and getting this legislation enacted, and it was enacted, after which it was possible in Brooklyn or anywhere else here with urban redevelopment to just simply find some interested purchaser and deal with him. And so I think this law worked very well. Jason, I have reviewed all the notes that I made and all the memories that I had about urban redevelopment. So,
well, you've supplied a lot of information, but and then I'll ask you just a few
please
questions.
Please do.
Okay. I read in your bio that you're originally from Atlanta, and I wanted to find out from you, when did you come to Charlotte and why?
Came to Charlotte in 1928 at the age of eight, something like that, maybe eight. My father, since you ask, was the sort of the star salesman of a furniture operation in a department store in Atlanta. That store was called J.M. High and Company. I don't think it's there anymore. But anyway, he was very talented in selling, and he was a star salesman at this furniture company. So J.B. Ivey and the man who was the manager of Ivey's, Mr. David Ovens, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but they contacted my father in 1928 and asked him to come on up here and take a job as the furniture manager at Ivey's department store.
Okay.
So we moved here in 1928 when I was 8 years old, and he worked with Ivey's there for many years, I don't know, a number of years, and then about 1940, started this business, Mecklenburg Furniture. He left Ivey's and started his own store, in other words. So I probably talked too much on that subject.
Feel free. Now, when your father started his own furniture company in 40, where was it originally located?
Out on North Tryon Street in what is now basically the almost out to the University of North Carolina, where you
okay.
went to school.
Okay.
It was at the corner of North Tryon Street and what was called then, and I think still is called, the Old Concord Road, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
We had very little funds, and he was trying to start this business, and he was able to buy 2 or 3 acres out there at that corner, which is just vacant land, overgrown with weeds and whatnot, and he built a little furniture store there, and I think he paid about $100 an acre or something like that for the land. So we moved, in effect, I was like, 6, 7, 8 miles out from the middle of Charlotte. And we stayed out there for a number of years, and then moved to this location in 1967.
Now, moving to Charlotte during, right before the Depression, how was your father and the business affected by the Depression at all?
Well, that takes a moment of thought. I believe that he had no difficulty depression-wise so long as he was an employee of J.B. Ivey and Company. You know, you're familiar with Ivey, the big department store in downtown Charlotte. No longer there.
Sure.
Down on right at the square, almost about one block from the square in Charlotte. As long as he was there with J.B. Ivey, I mean, he just continued with J.B. Ivey. But he left there in about 1937 or something, after having been there about 9 or 10 years, and attempted, as I say, to start his own business, and this was indeed a struggle. And he was, in effect, deprived of his guaranteed and steady income from Ivy's. And meanwhile, I'm a student in law school in Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
So I had to wait on tables and one thing and another trying to get through law school. And I finally got through law school. About what I know on that subject.
Sure.
Our depression difficulty came more
starting young
in the mid-30s and so forth when he discontinued with Ivy.
Now, where did you go to school in Charlotte?
Where did I go to school in Charlotte?
Like primary school.
Well, elementary school was Myers Park Elementary School, right over here behind Queens College, right at street, next street down off of Radcliffe Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
A.G., yeah. Mary Jane, we are carrying on a recorded interview here.
I won't be running on, I'll be back in a few.
A.G. was a junior high school over on Moorhead Street, Central High School, down where Central Piedmont Community College now is. So I went to those schools in Charlotte.
Now, when you first moved to Charlotte as a young boy, do you remember your first, how you conceived Charlotte as different from Atlanta? Do you see it as being smaller, or how much you remember about that, or your earliest recollections of coming to Charlotte?
Father and mother's families were both in Atlanta. And I think my mother had 7 children in the family, and my father had 8 children in the family, so that's a total of 15. So I just had cousins galore. And I had a number of cousins in Atlanta that were my age. Upon moving to Charlotte, there was nobody, no cousins, and family just was here alone. So that's my main memory of the town. It just simply lacked cousins, if that's an answer to
sure,
your question.
I understand.
And it did seem like a much smaller town with absolutely no cousins.
You said you graduated from Chapel Hill right after law school. Did you practice law for a while?
I got out of law school 1 week before the draft board would have grabbed me, and I had no opportunity whatsoever. I say 1 week, it might have been 2 or 3 weeks or something like that. I had attempted to complete law school before being taken by the military, and just barely was able to do it. And I had to argue a little bit with the draft board and tell them, look, I'll see you next month or something. And they agreed to this, so I was able to get, just barely was able to get through law school with the assistance of the local draft officials.
So you actually served in World War II?
Oh yeah, I was there for more than 3 years.
Right. Where all did you serve?
Oh,
I'll try to give you a brief answer on that.
Sure.
When I was in law school, I was the editor-in-chief of the Law Review. I should say I was the associate editor-in-chief, because I think there was one guy who was above me. So I was taken into the military with this kind of background. Right now, if you get out of law school and you're editor-in-chief of the Law Review and all, you get all these law offers from all these law
sure.
companies. But I had to go immediately into the service. The military, I was drafted into the Air Corps.
Okay.
The Air Corps, right at that time, had started a program. It's interesting that you should ask. It started a program that every one who might be exposed in any way to danger, which meant all flight personnel and so forth, had to have a last will and testament and certain other personal documents. So here I am right out of law school and I'm into the Air Force, and they had just started this program and they wanted everybody who was a flight personnel to have wills. Well, that was millions, I guess. I don't know, hundreds of thousands anyway. So I spent 3 years at 10 different air bases, and I just wrote wills. Nobody's written more wills than I have. And this occurred all over the United States. Air bases in New York, in Illinois, in Utah, and several in California. And some of those wills were quickly executed because the personnel immediately went overseas and got shot down and that sort of thing. So that was my main involvement in the military.
Now when you came back, did you practice law in Charlotte?
Yes, I did. I immediately had a position here with a firm, which was a big law firm here in town, maybe the biggest in town back in those days, which was early in 1946. This firm was called Whitlock and Dockery. They are no longer, those guys have passed on. And the successors to that firm reorganized under the name Moore and Van Allen. Moore and Van Allen is still operative here in Charlotte as a law operation. But during the days that I was there, it was under the earlier name, Whitlock and Dockery.
Did you practice for a number of years? Or just
about 4 or 5 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then got into this business with my family. It became necessary for me to get into this business, or otherwise it was going to, I don't know what would have happened to it.
Had you always, maybe I say always, but growing up, go all the way back and remember exactly at what point you said I want to study law. Was it something that you thought about for a while, or?
Yes, this was certainly mentioned and discussed within my family and others over a number of years. I guess everyone in maybe high school sort of gets into this subject, and during the entire high school period, I kept saying I want to go to law school, and so did wind up doing this. Why? I don't know. I didn't know that much about law or law school, but it was very, very interesting thing after I got into it.
So roughly late 40s, early 50s, you got involved with the family business.
That's exactly right. I think when I finally had to come here full-time, something like 1950, I think.
And when you got involved with the family business, did you practice at all, or did you? Probably not, I guess.
Unless you want to consider some involvement in this sort of thing that occurred when I was a member of the city council.
Oh, what you mean?
And as I mentioned, they made me a committee chairman to go down to Raleigh and get this enabling legislation so that for the negotiated sale of urban redevelopment property.
Now, what motivated you to run for city council? Was there a particular motivation, or?
Several people pushed it.
Oh, really?
Liz Hare and Sam Hare particularly brought up this possibility with me. Liz Hare, I don't think Liz is still with us, but Liz was very active in the county commission, and at one point there for a number of years, she was chairman of the county commission here in Charlotte and in Mecklenburg County. I had assisted her somehow. I just assisted her in elections and so forth, and worked at the polls and tried to help her get elected, and she was elected. And somehow Liz began to introduce to me the idea of, why don't you run for a city council? If I'm not mistaken, Liz was on the county commission a while when I was on the city council, so we sort of worked together.
Sure. You ever served in any other political capacity before city council?
So there is no. I hadn't done anything. I wasn't on any appointed board or anything. Never had done anything, but Liz kept saying, look, we need for you to run city council.
Sure, sure. Now, this is something I've always interested in. Were your parents involved with politics at all, or?
Never in the slightest.
Really?
My father was just completely enveloped in the
business.
Self, just completely contained into the furniture business. He had no extra time and did not participate in civic affairs. Same with my mother.
Now, once you decided to run for city council, talking with Ms. Hare, were there certain issues during that time that you wanted to address as a city council member, or issues that were going on in Charlotte that you were wanting to work towards?
It was not as if I joined into the election trying to push some particular
sure.
program. But upon getting into the election, I tried to study everything going on in City Hall and went down there and examined all the old minutes and old records and talked to all the city personnel down there and so forth. And so I think in the course of election, I began to make a few talks around town at one place and another, and probably push some idea or another, and probably urban redevelopment.
I understand.
But I can't be very, very specific
sure,
about
fine.
That
that's fine.
After this period of time.
Now, when you became a city council member, the urban renewal process had kind of begun in, say, 1960.
Yes.
What did you know of that process other than maybe just reading in the paper or being connected at all about that process? Or what were your opinions of it early on, kind of the same throughout? Or?
My recollection is that although the program was initiated nationally and also in North Carolina about 1960, I don't think a whole lot was done here in Charlotte at the very early stage. And it seems to me that I don't want to spotlight myself, but it seemed to me that I got into it just about when it was needed to be pushed. I'm in underway. I'm sure out of a lot of for paperwork and so I'm trying to get this and get it through with the federal assistance and that sort of thing. Wouldn't want to say that urban redevelopment was the big issue in 1965, but I'm sure I discussed it and around and talking with voter groups and so forth.
But you would say, would you consider that one of the bigger issues at the time, or?
I would say that urban redevelopment was the biggest issue in Charlotte at that time. And I don't know about the word issue, because it wasn't much of an issue. Everybody seemed to favor it, but it was one of the biggest movements in Charlotte at that time. There was talk about whether zoning and the zoning laws weren't sufficient to deal with urban degeneration and urban squalor and so forth. And I think there were some who thought, well, we don't need federal money and that sort of thing, particularly far-right wing individuals. But my feeling, and certainly I think the feeling of most folks, was that this federal urban redevelopment program was going to be a great thing, and that we had really no local way to sufficiently deal with the situation in Brooklyn and several other areas of the city.
Looking back, do you think that Charlotte received a good good return on the investment of the redevelopment?
Since you brought this up with me a week or so ago, I've been thinking a little bit about that exact matter. I just wonder if some public body couldn't be appointed to sort of look into that question a little bit. Maybe you're the one. But if there could be some statement prepared about how Brooklyn was in 1960 and then how it has continued to thrive today after urban redevelopment, if something of that sort could be written, I think it would be very, very valuable. My impression is it would show that Brooklyn and the three or four other areas have done very well and continue to do very well. It's probably much more difficult today to put across the idea of feds getting involved in local matters, and it's probably a feeling today that government, even local government, should not try to impact the lives of private citizens to that extent. I have never felt that way myself. If you ask me whether I'm a liberal or a conservative, I don't know if I'd answer the question exactly, but I have always tended to be somewhat more on the liberal side. Not that I want to just squander money. I think we need to be careful. But it would be somewhat out of character for me to try to come out and oppose something like an urban redevelopment program if somebody wants to reinstitute that kind of a program. Do we have any such thing now? I'm sure to get this through Congress these days, Republican Congress there would be very, very difficult. But if somebody wants to bring up that matter in Congress, I would say I would favor it right now. Why can't we why can't we deal with urban squalor by using the eminent domain procedure and using government and taxpayer funds and that sort of thing? I think I would favor that kind of program today. It's not very likely to occur.
Would you say that overall, you mentioned earlier in your discussion that you didn't receive a lot of negative sentiment from folks in the Brooklyn neighborhood about the redevelopment?
I'm very positive about that. Those who lived over there and those who moved in there and those who were leaving there because their property had been taken away from them, I think they supported me, and I was there for five more terms after that.
What would you consider some of your most memorable times on the council? I don't know if I should say memorable. I don't want you to think negative or positive unless you just, if there's something that kind of sticks out in your mind. Maybe a movement that you felt most gratified in.
Jason, after these years, I don't have a ready answer.
That's fine. Sure.
But I was indeed proud of the fact that I mentioned that they appointed me to go down there to Raleigh and get this law changed calling for the negotiated sale rather than the sale at public auction of urban redevelopment lands.
Do you remember the name of the committee that y'all created?
We had a redevelopment commission.
Mm-hmm.
Headed by
Vernon Sawyer.
Sawyer, yeah, I think was the employed.
Yes.
Head of the commission. What was his first name?
Vernon Sawyer.
Yeah, Vernon Sawyer, right. He was a good friend of mine.
I think he was originally from Norfolk, Virginia.
Vernon was brought in here from some other town where I think he had some experience back there before he came here. Yeah, Vernon was great. He certainly was. The citizens committee that was backing up the redevelopment operation called the Charlotte Redevelopment Commission, I guess it was headed by, gosh, it's been so long I can't think of the names, but a very active political person here just almost dominated the Democratic Party, and I think everyone appreciated what he did. I can't even think of his name now.
Is there anything I failed to ask you that you'd like to add?
I think I reviewed all the thoughts that I had, and I just appreciate this opportunity to talk with you, and I'm honored.
Well, I appreciate you affording me the opportunity to talk with you about our project. And I appreciate in the very beginning of the interview, you actually, your notes are really good. I really appreciate that, the time you spent to do that.
Well, we have all of this on that recorder. I'll be glad to give you a copy of these notes if you want them.
Sure, I'd love to have
you
a copy.
You want them?
Yes, sir.
It's in my old scribble handwriting.
That's fine. That's fine.